Open up your Bibles to maybe First Kings. Turn to First Kings. If you don't have a Bible, we put all of the verses that we're going to go through on the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, and so you can open up that. Click in the bottom right-hand corner, and then if you click in the top right-hand corner after that to the hamburger menu, go to events, and there you'll see Restoration Church and all the verses that we have this morning. One of the things that we wanted to be as a community called Restoration Church is just to be a community that we're not coming together to do a service, check the boxes, and move on, but really trying to discern and just, all right, Lord, what do you have for this space? And I approach, and other people that are a part of things here, we approach every Sunday really saying, God, what do you have in store for this Sunday? And again, not doing something and then just checking a box and moving on. And as I've been worshiping here, and I was talking to a couple others, you know, one thing that I feel, and I'm a feeler on those personality tests, probably just not a surprise to some of you. But one thing that I was just sensing was I just felt a spirit of heaviness here this morning. And not that anybody's doing anything wrong, but I just feel a weight. And was talking to someone in the prayer time, and they're like, yeah, I feel this too. I feel just a heaviness. And I don't want to move on just to the next thing for the sake of doing the next thing, but want to press into that and actually just speak that out loud, that I just feel a heaviness in this room. And one of the things that can transform a heaviness is put on a spirit of praise, put on a garment of praise. And I want us to think about our lives, and Rebecca and myself and Brad, we're like, is there a song that we want to sing or whatever? It really isn't just singing a specific song that will break that, but I believe what needs to break that this morning is putting on a garment of praise and thinking about our lives and thinking about all that God has done in our lives, all that God has provided, all that God has blessed us with. We have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies through Christ. We have been given so much. God has pursued you. God has pursued me. God has overwhelmed us with his love and his grace. All throughout our lives, he's been faithful. All throughout our lives. And so I just want, the words are not going to be up on the screen because that's not what we were planning on doing. But I feel just a need to kind of break through with this. There's that song, Goodness of God, that just the chorus is, all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so good. And so let's just sing that chorus together and just pray together as a body that whatever heaviness, whatever weight we're feeling, that Holy Spirit, you would just break that. You would break that off, that you would put on a garment of praise on us this morning. So let's sing this. Well, I should have been more aware this morning. There's one thing that bugs me when it comes to cars. And it just is like new on a vehicle and in the last like number of years. And it's those pesky little tire sensors, lights. I understand why they exist in a vehicle. Like if your tire pressure is going down, they illuminate on your dashboard and say, hey, you need to check the tire pressure in your tires. And I have an older van, and that thing has been coming on recently. And I spent a lot of time on Tuesday trying to get that sucker fixed because I just was like tired of it. This pesky little yellow light. And I thought I like got it fixed. And this morning I get in my van and that thing like, bloop, there it was again. I'm like, you little stinker. And it just like bugged me like the whole ride here this morning. And so maybe that should have been an initial cue. Like, okay, there's just something that's a little off. Like the enemy is like just kind of messing with things. And I'm not somebody who looks for a demon under every bush, but we do know that we live in a spiritual world and we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. And so when it came to being a community here called Restoration Church, one of the things that we have always wanted, we've always been about, we've always put front and center, is to be a people of prayer, to be a people who are seeking the Lord, who are pursuing the Lord, who are quick to pray whenever situations arise. And so that's why, you know, we even did what we did right then and there. But I also love, like years ago, somebody was walking along a park and there was a person that came running after this person and said, you go to that church that knows how to pray, right? And they said, yeah, I know how to pray. What do you have going on? And there in the park, they prayed together. And I love those stories. I love the stories that we hear across the years of just people stopping, whether it's in a grocery store and praying, or just texting somebody and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. Can I pray for you? Or if somebody has an issue, saying, hey, I'm going to pray for you right now. That is always who we wanted to be. And I believe that when it comes to prayer, prayer is the vision that Jesus had for his church. Even as he was going into Jerusalem, he went into Jerusalem and the palm branches and all that stuff. And he goes into the temple and he sees that they're buying and selling. And they've made a mockery out of the temple. And Jesus like turns over the tables and he says, my house will be a house of prayer. Like, what have you done? And that always struck with me, like, you know, we think about so many different visions when it comes to communities like this. But Jesus is clear, my house, my people are going to be about prayer. My house will be a house of prayer. And I always like, why, Jesus, is that? And I think it's simple. It's because the Lord wants us to walk in complete dependence on him every single day. Walking with him, what a gift that we have, that we, through the blood of Jesus, get to boldly enter his throne, to walk with him, to talk with him, to see life restored to the way that it was intended to be in the garden. That we get to walk with the Father. That we get to walk with him and know him. And I believe, like, at the end of the day, like, every desire that we have, like, in this room, like, it's simple. Like, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be listened to. And what a gift that we have all throughout the New Testament, over and over again, is this teaching on prayer. And so for the next couple of weeks, I just want to recenter us again when it comes to prayer, to remind ourselves that this is not a program or anything like that, or an activity, but an opportunity to walk in intimacy with the Lord, to know his heart. John 17:3 says this, this is eternal life. That they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Eternal life is all wrapped around knowing the Father and knowing the Son. It's not praying a prayer, getting a ticket to heaven, and being like, okay, I'm good. I bought heaven insurance, and I'm good to go, kicking up my feet. No, eternal life is all about knowing your Savior, knowing Jesus, walking with him, knowing the heart of the Father, hearing his voice. And so that's why all throughout the New Testament, verse after verse after verse, the Apostle Paul and others says, hey, don't forget prayer. Don't forget prayer. In fact, as we were wrapping up Colossians last week, this is how Paul wrapped up Colossians 4 with just this simple little remark. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul said this over and over again. All throughout the New Testament are these little phrases about prayer. Look at Romans 12. Next slide. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Next slide. Ephesians 6. This is after this whole teaching on spiritual warfare, putting on the armor of God. Paul wraps it up and he says this. Oh yeah, pray at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, petitions, requests, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then the next slide, Philippians 4. Paul again, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And I love that phrase. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is not distant. He's close by. So in light of that, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, it says, in everything by prayer. Next slide. 1 Thessalonians. Paul again says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then James, not Paul, or I'm sorry, Paul says this again in 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And then James says this, is anyone among you suffering? What should they do? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Over and over again, pray, pray, pray. But look at the words, look at the verbs, look at the action that's in every one of these passages. Continue steadfastly in prayer. It says be devoted, like not just dabble in it, like be devoted to prayer. Be constant at all times, in everything, without ceasing. And he says, I urge you to pray. I look at that and I ask myself the question, did those words define my prayer life? Do those words define your prayer life? Do those words define how you live your life, constantly every day walking with the Lord, pouring out our requests before him? And this is not like religious activity, or I don't want you to hear like this religious tone. No, this is an invitation from the Lord to do life with him, to do life with him. And I wonder, like, why did Paul say this? Why is there so much emphasis on prayer? And first of all, it's what I said. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 says this, they put on the full armor of God. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this dark world. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, if you pray the way that Jesus taught you to pray in Luke 11, it is a declaration that you're making, a declaration of war. And here's why. Jesus taught us to pray this way, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Who, according to Ephesians 2, is the ruler of this earth right now? Satan. Satan is. Ephesians 2, it says that he's the prince and the power of this world. And so when we declare we want heaven to come to earth, we want God's reign to come to earth, what we are saying is, oh, there's going to be a spiritual battle. This is a declaration of war, that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place. It's like if someone from Canada said, I'm moving to America. I'm moving to America, and I want to happen in America as it is in Canada. Okay, there's nothing bad against Canada. I'm not making any declaration there. I'm just using this as an example. But you say, like, in America as it is in Canada, or pick whatever country, all of a sudden it would happen, and you're like, what? Like, that's a declaration that you want to do something in our community that maybe we don't want. So I think about this from a spiritual perspective. When we pray those simple words, and we pray them often, on earth as it is in heaven, we are making a declaration of that there's a spiritual battle. And we have to be aware. Restoration Church, we have to be aware. We have to be on guard. And that's why I believe over and over again, Paul is saying, be devoted to prayer. Don't give up praying. Pray without ceasing. I urge you, he even says, pray for me that there's an open door of sharing the gospel with people. We need to be constant in prayer, not again because it's some religious activity that we have to engage in, but because one, it's a spiritual battle, and two, the Lord wants us to walk in relationship with him. Because at the very foundation of it all, and what sets apart Christianity from every other religion, if you will, is that we have a God who answers. We have a God who hears. We have a God who listens and moves. Exodus 2, I love this, and people were crying out to the Lord. Listen to this. This like just so explains the heart of the Father. Talking about the Israelites, and they were in slavery, and they're crying out. It says, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. I love this. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And then it goes on and says, and God knew their hearts. God heard the cry of their hearts. God is a God who listens. God is a God who just, he leans his ear towards his people as they cry out for help. And there's a powerful picture of this in the Old Testament that I just want to look at to wrap up our time together this morning, and then to launch into even some more prayer. It's out of 1 Kings 18. So if you turn to 1 Kings 18, and just a little bit of background here in 1 Kings 18, the way that the Lord had set it up with Israel is he wanted to be their king. He looked at this people called Israel and he said, you're my people. You're not great in number or that amazing, but because of my love for you, you're my people and I want to rule over you. But then the people of Israel looked around and they're like, wait, can we be like all of the other nations? Can we be like them? Like, we don't want you as king. We want our own earthly king. And this grieved the heart of God. He's like, I want to be your king, but okay, this is your desire, and so I'll raise up a king. And king after king ruled over Israel. And for the most part, they were evil. There were a couple good ones sprinkled in there, but they were evil. Over and over again, you read the Old Testament, and it says they did evil inside in the eyes of the Lord, and they angered him. And there was one like that was above all the others, and his name was Ahab. And we're going to read about Ahab in this story. And Ahab did more than all of the other kings to anger the Lord, is what Scripture says. He like was really, really evil. And his wife Jezebel was no peach. Like, she was worse than him. And so they were at, like, they just, they there was idol worship. The people of Israel had wandered away from the Lord. And there was a prophet named Elijah. And this prophet Elijah was calling the people back to God. And so by nature, there was this conflict between Ahab and Elijah. They did not like one another. One, because Ahab was evil and Elijah was righteous. And so there was this conflict. There was this spiritual battle. And the people of Israel were following after Ahab. And Elijah stands up and he says, guys, you need to make a decision. You need to like decide who you're going to follow. And in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, he says this. He says this, and Elijah came near to all the people, and he said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, an idol worship, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. I think that's a word for us today. If God is God, the Lord is God, follow him. But if there's idols and they're God, like, follow them. But the people that, like, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot following the Lord. It just doesn't work. And that's what he's asking Israel. He's like, stop having one foot in the world and one foot following the Lord. Stop limping around, because if you have one foot in one world and one foot in the other, you know, you're not going to walk smoothly. And this is what he's saying. He's like, stop limping around. Decide once and for all. And so he set up this contest and he said, all right, we're going to see which God answers. Take a bull, take an animal, cut it up into pieces, place it on the altar, and then cry out to your God. And whichever God responds, that's who the Lord is. And so the prophets of Baal, a bunch of them, hundreds of them, started to cry out. Verse 25, 1 Kings 18, verse 25. And so Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourself one bull, prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, and I love this, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing deep in thought, or is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. Now, I just look at that verse, and I'm like, I love Scripture for that verse. Like, I love Scripture for so many different reasons, but I love how the prophet Elijah is making fun of the prophets of Baal. He's like, your God is not answering. You're crying out. Oh, maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's deep in sleep. Cry out even louder. And so they did. Verse 28, they cried out and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Do you hear the depths of despair in those words? They cut themselves. They went crazy, just trying to appease their God, just trying to get an answer from a God that was not going to answer. And I wonder, how often do we give all of our time and energy to something that won't answer, to something that won't satisfy the depths of our soul? How often do we extend ourselves in activity, engaging in practices that won't bring satisfaction depth into our souls? And I look at the prophets of Baal, I look at what these people were doing, going after things, thinking that it was going to offer life, but it was just an end, just a dead end road. If you are chasing the things of this world in this room, if you are going after things, in this world thinking that it's going to bring life, I want you just to hear from me, hear me clearly. Stop, turn, repent. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. That's not going to bring life. So Elijah is offering life to the people of Israel. Stop chasing after these gods that won't answer, that won't hear. And so then all of a sudden he picks up, Elijah picks up. I'll fast forward to verse 36. After he prepares the offering and he douses it with water, and there's a huge trench around his altar filled with water. Like, there's no way that this offering was going to light on fire. And it says this in verse 36. And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, and I love this, he's just simply saying this, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, calling on his faithfulness in the past, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, that I have done all of these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Two quick things out of this. First of all, do you see the Lord's heart? What could have he done? Fire fell from heaven. And there was anger that the Lord had. Fire fell from heaven. And I believe he could have consumed all the people. He could have consumed them and killed them all. But what does this communicate about the Father's heart? He is gracious. He is merciful. He gives grace upon grace upon grace. And he was after their hearts. He was after their attention. And instead of consuming them, he woke them up and he said, oh, let me show you my power. But then the second thing is a simple thing, is we have a God who answers. We have a God who answers. We have a God who hears and a God who responds. And I remember reading stories like this one, and there's so many other stories where we see the miraculous all throughout the Old Testament. And I remember as a kid reading these stories and thinking, God, does this still happen today? God, I want to see this today. And then I got to the New Testament, and I'd read about the miracles of Jesus, and I'm like, does this even happen today? And I grew up in an environment where I didn't hear many of these stories, where I didn't see it lived out. But there was a longing deep in my soul, God, I want to see your hand. I want to see your hand at work, because I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I remember hearing a message, and a man was sharing about answers to prayer. Like real answers to prayer, big ones, small answers to prayer, like lost keys found, like big, like lives transformation, everything in between. And I'm like, God, I want that in my life. And then he shared a verse that changed me forever. We just read about Elijah. And he shared about a verse in James 5 that wrecked me. And he said this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. What's the difference between you and Elijah? The man who was in front of the prophets of Baal, calling down fire from heaven, the Lord answered. What's the difference, according to James 5, what's the difference between you and him? Rick said it.
Nothing, honey.
Nothing, honey. There it is. Nothing. Nothing. He was a man. He's a man just like you or I. He's a person just like you or I. But here's what he did. He prayed. He prayed. He walked with the Lord and just said, God, this is what I desire. This is what I want to see happen. I remember reading this and hearing this message. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this. I want to be a person of prayer. I want to walk with you. And I remember this was years ago, having two guys, Dan and Eric, talking to them. Hearts were hard, kind of drifting away from the Lord. One didn't know the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I want to have an encounter with them. I want to talk with them. Lord, would you make that happen? I was just like filled with faith. And all of a sudden I took out my phone and I was like, whoa, there's a text from both of these guys. And I can say to this day that after walking with him and talking with him, here's two men that are on fire for the Lord. God answers prayers. And I say that story like just that simply because this happens. Because I've seen it, praying and God answering prayers. But here's the thing that I know about prayer. You can have seasons where you are going for it and crushing it, and then there's seasons because life hits you that you're like, I don't know. I'm filled with doubts. And what I'm here to say this morning is we need to, again, raise the temperature in our lives when it comes to prayer. To be people that walk with the Lord, to be people that are dependent on the Lord, to be people that are devoted and constantly, steadfastly in prayer. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to do things that I can look at and be like, yep, that was my hand. I can see what I did. I want to be a part of things that only God can do. And I want my life to be filled with stories that are like, but God. Life was going this way, but God intervened. Life was heading this way, but God intervened. There was a heaviness that we felt, but God intervened and brought joy. I want to be a part of a people, and I am, all of you are carrying this, a people that are filled with a hunger to say, God, we need you. We need you to intervene. And a people that are crying out to the Lord. And so what we're going to do moving forward in the next couple weeks is this, is simply this. I want you to pray. Pray. You're like, well, okay, that's it? Yeah. Wake up early and pray. Cry out to the Lord. Raise the temperature in your soul when it comes to prayer. Pray in the car. Pray with somebody else. Pray as you walk. Pray as you're at work. Pray. Just constantly have in your mind, God, you are in control. I'm constantly crying out to you. Just and have it look normal. It doesn't have to be fancy. Prayer can have, it can have short words. It doesn't have to be super long. It doesn't have to be fancy, anything like that. Just pray. Secondly, pray with other people. And so what we're going to do this week, and you'll get this in an email tomorrow, we're going to pray, or two opportunities to pray together as a community. We're going to pray Wednesday at noon. There's going to be a Zoom prayer meeting Wednesday at noon, and I'll share the link. But then also, if Wednesday at noon does not work for you, Tuesday mornings, the elders get together and pray every Tuesday. And for this week, we're going to throw the Zoom link out to everybody, and we're going to pray together. And so from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, on Tuesday morning, so even before work, if you're a first shifter, 6:30 to 7, just join others and pray. Again, I'm going to share that link with you guys. But then lastly, we're going to dive into the book of Acts and just look at how prayer fueled the entire church and fueled their mission. You rip out prayer out of the book of Acts, you're not going to see much of the book of Acts left. And so we're going to look at that. And so this week, we have been having reading plans throughout this year. This week, I just want you to read a chapter of Acts a day, Acts 1 through 7 this week, because I believe the Lord wants to reignite in us a heart and a passion for prayer, but most of all, a heart and a passion for Him. And so would you stand, please, as we wrap up?